You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into a Friday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here, as always, with David Ramil. Let's start this thing off with a correction. Stanley writes in, big fan of the show, but isn't Ryan Anderson's guarantee for $15.6 million, not $5.6 million? He agreed to reduce his guarantee from $20 to $15 million following the trade to the Suns. Yes. Yes, Stanley, we were wrong on our last mailbag. Or I should say I was wrong, David. I won't lump you into that, even though you didn't correct me. But yeah, I was wrong. I said that I got the guarantee and the non-guarantee numbers flipped. So everything that, and we were basically talking about like how much cap space how much space the Heat would have under the luxury tax. All of the figures and numbers I threw out there were completely wrong. Add about or subtract, I guess, $10 million from all the cap numbers that I said. I'm not going to get into that because we're going to talk about the cap ad nauseum for the rest of the summer. But now that the season's over, we can get into a end of season mailbag. Lots of questions about where the Heat are going from here. We're going to just take a bunch of these mailbag questions. We'll try to get to as many as we can today. But David, we got to start with some of this news. Dave Yeager fired by the Kings. JB Bickerstaff out of Memphis. Larry Drew predictably let go by the Cavs or mutually parted ways, whatever. Bunch of coaching changes, and I know that you had something to say about this.
Not just coaching changes, but you also look at what Vlade Divac did with Sacramento, with Magic stepping down abruptly with Los Angeles, the fact that Chris Wallace, the general manager in Memphis, was demoted. It just reeks of so much chaos around the league, and for all the criticism that Riley took for overpaying, perhaps, players in 2016 and 17, the reality is this stability in Miami is a welcome change from other organizations that are so, so much more dysfunctional. And I think we have to have that kind of perspective because the reality is, you know, Miami's enjoyed incredible success, you know, championship success within the recent decade, you know, not to mention playoff success. Memphis never tasted a championship. For all the grit and grind legend that they've acquired over the years, they've never really tasted any kind of realistic success. And they've been out of the playoffs for the last couple of seasons, and they look like they're probably going to be out of the playoffs in the next couple of seasons as well. So you have to kind of put that in perspective. Look at the Lakers, a storied franchise that hasn't been in the playoffs since, you know, 5 years ago, et cetera, et cetera. You can go on and on and on. The point is Miami is continuously, annually, perennially a contender, at least for the playoffs. They do things in a stable way. They keep everything in-house. You rarely hear about any kind of dysfunction within the organization. I can't think of anything, to be honest with you, since the Stan Van Gundy firing in 2004. I mean, other than that, I can't recall a time when there was any kind of major disruption within the front office. I mean, there have been trade leaks, there have been talks, there have been things here and there, but for the most part, this has been the model of stability for 2+ decades, and I think you have to kind of appreciate that.
The biggest shakeup they had was a few years ago, they just promoted everybody.
Yeah.
That was the biggest shakeup they had.
We want to pay you more. We don't really have a place for you, but we'll just create a new title. Now you're the executive vice president of podcasting. Wes, congratulations.
It's well deserved, in my opinion. I think the other part about this too is the relationships, right? We know that Pat Riley is very close to the people that he works with. He never fires anybody. Like Ron Rothstein is a broadcaster now. Tony Fiorentino is something is like a camp counselor or something.
Community liaison.
Like nobody gets fired. And so, look, we could talk about whether or not that's the right way to run a business or not. I don't know. But to me, look, I'm in Sacramento quite a bit to cover the NBA. And
oh, you are.
Dave Yeager and Vlade, like, they didn't have a good relationship, and it was apparent all the time. And Yeager and Vlade never talked. Yeager had a bad relationship with Brandon Williams, the assistant general manager, and they both tried to get each other fired.
Nice.
And Vlade basically just said, no, you're both fired. Like, you guys can't play nice, you're both out of here, you know? But Vlade, in his own right, like, he's got sort of this power trip mentality, and I'm not breaking news here. Anybody that has covered the Kings or have watched the Kings or read anything about the Kings understand that. He is trying to consolidate power. He does, like, Dave Yeager did this in Memphis where he grates against the front office, and he does it for, I would argue, good reasons. He's like, I don't want to play, like, a big sticking point between Sacramento and him, by the front office and him was, you got to play the rookies more. You got to play Marvin Bagley more, play Giles more. And he was like, they're not ready to play. And I'm not going to just throw them into the fire. I want to ease them into it. And it turned out that that was right, because Bagley, by the end of the year, looked really good. And so did Harry Giles. And the Kings were awesome. I mean, this was a team that people weren't sure if they were going to win 20 games. And they almost made it to the playoffs in the West. I mean, Dade Vieger did a great job. But also, I would have told anybody, and I've told people this, he's not long for Sacramento. Now, I didn't think that they would fire him this summer. I thought they would give him at least another season, so that De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield and all those guys could sort of continue on in their young development and just sort of get more of a hold in the NBA, so that they could sort of just take it themselves and go the distance by themselves. I thought they needed one more year of Dave Yeager, but Vlade was like, they had a bad relationship. They did not have a good working relationship. And so eventually something had to change, and Vlade wasn't going to fire himself. So that when you compare that to Miami's front office, where Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, Andy Ellsberg, Shane Battier, Lonzo Mourning, all these guys love each other, know each other, hang out together, talk basketball together. They're in each other's ears. They're suggesting things to each other. It's a group effort. No decisions are made on their own. No decisions are made in a vacuum. It is a group effort in Miami, and it is a healthy working environment. We've heard from the Lakers side of things that front office was toxic. Like, you never hear the word toxic brought up in Miami in regards to their front office. So that's something that Heat fans should be proud of. And so anybody that's talking about firing Riley, like, we've been critical of Riley and some of the moves, obviously. Like, and they should be criticized. It's not a good roster. It did disappoint. But overall, the team's in good hands.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And one more thing to add about the Kings and any coaching turnover like that, like, having covered the Magic in recent years and seeing the litany of coaches that they've gone through, from Scott Skiles to James Borrego, now in Charlotte. I'm missing somebody here. Oh, Frank Vogel. I mean, on and on and on. Jacques Vaughn, a couple seasons. I mean, Aaron Gordon is in his fifth year in the league, and he's had as many head coaches as he's been in the league. And that's a lot of instability there. And every time that you hire a coach, it takes time. You have to build relationships. You have to get vocabulary and habits down. And they always tweak something, whether it's where they give a press conference or when they want to practice and things of that sort. It's, you have to develop this and you have to nail it. Look, to Steve Clifford's credit, he was able to guide the Magic into the playoffs, but that wasn't something that was easy and or expected. So just, I mean, the Sacramento Kings, for all that you might not like Yeager, you probably set yourself back yet another year. And then you also impacted the young players' development, because now guys like De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley have to learn a new coach that they have to play for and adhere to. And it just changes things drastically, and not for the better.
Let's do a quick ad read here. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allow you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. Check on your home anytime with the Wyze app live stream in 1080p, full HD, images so clear that you won't miss a thing. Wyze's mission is to create amazing smart home products, and they are available and affordable to everyone. Best of all, Wyze provides free rolling 14-day cloud storage, and without any subscription, it's just $20 a camera. Easily check in on your kids or monitor your home in the middle of the workday. For whatever reason you need it, Wyze can help. And for just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Patrol your room with Pan Scan. Set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. The camera automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. David, how many cameras do you have in your house?
None yet, but it's something that I'm thinking about getting. Unfortunately, I'm able to spend most of my day at home, so. But, one of the things I see all the time, or especially now in this world where we order so many products online, we get everything from Amazon delivered to us. Packages are delivered at random times of the day. Those could be easily stolen off of anybody's porch. It's just
Can I tell you a story about that?
Yes.
So I, 3-4 holiday seasons ago, I had a package delivered from my mom.
Right.
She said, there's going to be a package delivered. There's cookies and blankets in there. This was the first year I moved to Northern California. So it's a lot colder than South Florida. It can get to like 40 degrees, 30 degrees sometimes. Brr. To me, as a South Floridian, it's like anything under 50 and I think I'm in the frozen tundra. But the package never came. And we called UPS, we called, or FedEx, or whichever one it was. And like, yeah, we delivered it. And I was like, no, you didn't, because I don't have cookies and I'm cold. And turns out that the package got stolen.
Wow.
And some jerk off has my cookies that my mom baked for me.
Bastard.
And my blankets that my mom bought for me. So I should have had a Wyze Cam ad or cam spans thing, whatever it's called. Wyze works with Alexa and is accessible on your mobile phone from anywhere. Go to wyze.com/lock to get the guaranteed lowest price. That's wyze.com, WYZE/locked. All right, I want to read this email from Perry. Hey guys, hope all is well. Crazy game last night. Being a Seaville resident for the past 6 years and going to most games, it's been remarkable seeing these kids grow into championship players. From a joke last year to champs, classic story. But now that the season is over and soon is our Heat season, we need to jump into draft discussion. Unless something miraculous happens, I doubt DeAndre Hunter will be available, but his 3-and-D skills would fit so well, obviously. Who do you guys see as us selecting at somewhere around 10 to 13? Secondly, now that we go into next season with Hassan's expiring contract, how valuable do you see that chip to other teams? Thanks much, Perry. P.S. I feel honored and lucky to have experienced Dwayne for all of those seasons and, of course, the rings. I don't know what Seaville is.
Charlottesville, where the university
is. Charlottesville. Thank you. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. And I was like, the Heat aren't champs. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, so he did have a focus on college athletics there, so that made sense.
I read, you listen. I don't know who's going to be available. Based on most mock drafts from 10 to 13. So, first of all, Miami, after Thursday night's or Wednesday night's wrapping up of the regular season, the Heat are in a three-way tie for the anywhere between picks 12 and 14. So that's going to go to a draw. And they're in a tie with Sacramento and Charlotte. So those three are going to go to a draw at some point in the not-so-distant future, and that will basically determine. So they get basically a lottery to determine their lottery position, right? And all their odds are even because it's a tie. So that's how that works. So Miami might be picking 12, 13, or 14 at this point. And based on most mock drafts that we're looking at, yeah, DeAndre Hunter is not going to be available. And I would say he's, after that performance in the championship game, probably will certainly not be available. But there's a lot of guys that we've been talking about, David. I've seen in the latest SI mock draft, Jeremy Wu has the Heat taking Sekou Doumbouya, who you and I have said in the past that we really like. I would love that pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think he plays the right position. Somewhere you need to develop a forward for the future. You've got Olynyk, you've got James Johnson, you've got Justice, of course, but he seems like he's going to be manning the point. So, you know, you need to shore up the forward position as best you can, and that's clearly the position I think of need. You're set at center, regardless of what happens with the Hassan Whiteside opt out and his future with the franchise. But there's a lot of different options there. I'm looking at another one right now. And it looks like you could get a North Carolina player, Nasir Little. He could fall there.
I don't love him. He's a little undersized. Not sure where he plays. He's like 6'6".
6'6", 220 is what they listed.
Not a knockdown shooter. A lot of people like him. I just don't know. I've seen so many guys like that just sort of come out and just sort of fizzle.
Stanley Johnson-esque.
Who?
Stanley Johnson-esque, maybe? Nasir
Little? Yeah, a little bit like that. Yep. I think the Heat need to either go get the most athletic guy. So the reason I like Sekou Doumbouya, he's really, really athletic. He's got all the tools. He's super raw, but he'll probably be the youngest player in the draft. There's something to work with there. I don't know that the Heat need another Bam Adebayo, another Josh Richardson. I think they need, and those are good players, like obviously, but
somebody with a higher upside.
A little bit more higher upside. They are what they are. We kind of know what Bam's seen. Like, we kind of see what the best version of Bam Adebayo is. They need to find they need to find whatever the next Kawhi or Giannis is. And I do think that they should swing for the fences. I don't think they need to be safe here, is what I'm saying. Don't get the, like, Bam Adebayo, we were shocked when they drafted him. We're like, who?
Yeah.
But it was really, in retrospect, a safe pick because at the very least, he was going to be a good defender, period, end of story. And they knew that, and they drafted him because of that. They need to swing for the fences here. And I say, just go get a really long, athletic player who has some raw skill, some raw talent, and just go for it. Because if it fizzles out, big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's look at the second part of Paris' question, though. Hassan Whiteside is an expiring contract. That relates to another email that we got from Ferris, who wrote in, could Miami pull off a similar deal like Dallas did with sending DeAndre Jordan, etc., to New York for a star? Miami has Hassan, etc. to pull off a superstar trade. What are your thoughts? So just Hassan Whiteside as a trade chip in general. We've been talking about how he's impossible to trade for the last couple of years, David. But now that he's on an expiring contract, it's a $27 million expiring contract. But an expiring contract nonetheless, you could build some things there. It's just whether or not a team would look to acquire a guy like Whiteside.
I think he makes a lot of sense. I think you could argue that he's probably a better player than DeAndre Jordan, who's slipped considerably now at his age. So I think for all that Whiteside has been criticized by us and others, I think there's potential there as a trade piece. But the reality is also the move was to acquire Dennis Smith Jr. And not only that, but it was probably in some small part at least, to free themselves of Kristaps Porzingis. I think they were done with him. I think there's some concern about the impending assault charges that have been levied against him. So I think, you know, that was made known to teams who acquired Kristaps or had inquired about Kristaps' availability. So that's hanging over them. And I'm sure the Knicks wanted to kind of move away from that kind of, those kinds of allegations and see what they could get out of Kristaps Porzingis. Again, concerns about injury. So, you know, you have to target the right player. It's not like you can just package Hassan for any kind of player, any superstar whatsoever. And Kristaps Porzingis, I think, is a great player, but I do have legitimate health concerns. At his height, at his size, the way that he moves around, like, I think his feet and legs are going to be a continuous problem throughout the rest of their career. So you have to be very concerned about the future of your organization if you make a move for a player like that. So not just anybody's going to be available. So, but that's the other thing then, is that they were able to move DeAndre Jordan's contract because of Dennis Smith Jr. And so with Miami, who are you going to include along with Hassan Whiteside to acquire said superstar? I mean, I'm not even sure what superstars might be available. That will change over the course of the summer. But it's going to have to be Whiteside and something else. Will it be the first round pick in this year's draft? Will it be Josh Richardson? That's a higher salary that you probably want to include. Bam, right. Maybe? I mean, I don't know anybody.
Bam would be the guy.
Yeah, but you don't want to acquire two centers. I mean, but that's another thing, right, too, then. It's like, what's the point? It would have to be a complementary player to Whiteside, another position, and I'm not sure who that would be.
Yeah, and Derrick Jones Jr. isn't quite up to that standard, right? The Heat like him and everything like that, but yeah. You could package Whiteside with whoever the Heat pick in the first round this year.
Yeah,
no and doubt. That could be very valuable. So that, I think, would be the move. But there is a lot of risk in that if you're Miami. And then, again, who are you getting? And that $27 million is pretty steep. Even DeAndre Jordan wasn't making that much money. And look, the Knicks weren't trading for DeAndre Jordan. They were trading for Dennis Smith Jr. And a draft pick, right?
And also to unload Tim Hardaway Jr.'s contract. And, yeah,
right.
There was a lot going on there.
So if the Heat were to build something like that, I almost think that Goran Dragic would be the more appropriate expiring, because the salary is would be $19 versus $27 million, and that's just more easily movable.
Mm-hmm.
But even let's look at what that would look like, a potential package. Like, it would be Whiteside or Dragic, one or the other. Plus, if you're the Heat, you're probably trying to attach Deion Waiters, Kelly Olynyk, or James Johnson to that, one of those longer-term deals, because you need to move one of those if you really want to be a player in the next couple free agencies. And then, yeah, probably the first pick or their first round pick this year, or Bam Adebayo. That would be it. And again, like you said, Josh and Justice, their extensions kick in. Those salaries are just too much for that to make sense. So that's the package. Whoever the Heat pick at the end of the lottery, Whiteside or Dragic, plus one of James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, or Waiters.
That is
the package. I don't know what you get for that, yeah, but that's that Dallas-esque type of deal.
Right, and I don't even know that you could include any of those bad, quote-unquote, bad contracts, because whoever you make a deal for to acquire their superstar is probably going to want to include bad contracts of their own, like the Hardaway.
And it's not going to be a superstar, right? It's not like they're going to trade that for Anthony Davis. They're going to trade it for damaged goods. We found out later that Kristaps Porzingis was damaged goods. I mean, we knew about the health stuff. We didn't know about the legal stuff when the trade went down. That was a damaged superstar. So it's a high-risk move, right? Like, that's a high-risk trade, but if you're the Heat, that might also sort of just be the option, right? If you're not getting Anthony Davis, if Kevin Durant's not showing up on your doorstep, then maybe that is what you're kind of looking for. I actually think that they should probably look at what the Brooklyn Nets did for D'Angelo Russell. Mm-hmm. Like, look at the other side of that trade, where they absorbed a salary in Timofey Mozgov, and the Knicks absorbed a salary and got Dennis Smith Jr. They absorbed the DeAndre Jordan salary, got Dennis Smith Jr. And I think that those guys, who are still young but have some upside, and if you can just if you buy into the idea that let's bring them in here into our building and we think we can get more from them than what Dallas was getting out of Dennis Smith Jr. or what LA was getting out of D'Angelo Russell, that might be the way to go. And then that would include, I guess, moving Whiteside for... Well, that's the hard thing, is like now you have to move Whiteside for a longer-term contract, I guess, which the Heat don't necessarily want, again, unless they can move off these other things. I do think that Dragic and Whiteside as expiring contracts will have value. There's always a way to use an expiring. I think Dragic will be a whole lot more easier to move, I think, than Whiteside would be.
Now, how about as a potential... I mean, I can't even believe we're even discussing this, but what about for James Jones is taking over as the general manager for the Phoenix Suns, a trade for Devin Booker, maybe around Goran, returning him to Phoenix, Josh Richardson in a first-round pick for Booker. Is that a deal that you
It was Dragic who in a first-round pick?
Richardson and the first-round pick for Devin Booker.
I don't even think Phoenix would do that.
And maybe, and do they have a bad contract that they'd like to unload? I mean, I feel like we already took the worst contract. I mean,
they would take Tyler Johnson back. it would be no. I honestly think that at this point, and they would be right to do it. Phoenix should be looking for an Anthony Davis type of package for Devin Booker.
Interesting.
Like, he's not that good, obviously, but he's the only guy that... I mean, DeAndre Ayton looks nice, but like, he is the superstar. You know, he's got that extra little something. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back with more mailbag. But first, remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On Heat on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Heat. Ride That Pony Tony writes in, if there is one move that must happen this offseason, what is it?
You know, one move... I honestly can't think of anything immediately.
So I'm thinking they have to get off of one of those three contracts that we were just talking about. It's got to be one.
If they had to move one to answer
We're talking about Waiters, James Johnson, or Olynyk, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what you consider the worst contracts in the Heat roster, then that's fine.
Yeah. They got to move one.
See, people would argue that Goran's contract is bad because of his age and that Hassan's contract is bad because of his lack of effort sometimes.
But they're expiring. It's like they'll one more year of that, like you'll just
you get two more years of Deion. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that they want to be, if the Heat want to be players in 2020, they need to move one of those, because right now they'll have $46.5 million in cap space, which is quite a bit of cap space, but it's not enough to get what Pat Riley said. It's not two max cap slots. Right. Pat Riley keeps saying we'll have two max cap slots in 2020. No, you won't. Not unless you move James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, or Deion Waiters. And in that year, James Johnson will be making $15.8 million, Olynyk will be making $13.5 million, and Deion's going to be making $12.6 million. So you'd like to get off of James Johnson. And I do think that that would be the move. It's just not necessarily... But he's got a player option for that year, as does Kelly Olynyk. Other teams don't like to take on contracts that have player options at the end just because of the level of uncertainty there. But it's not impossible. I would say that that's one of the moves. Like, look, if there had to be one move, right? Whiteside and Dragic, I would like to get off of those contracts. Not necessarily Dragic, but Whiteside. But the way Whiteside played at the end of the year, I mean, he looked really good. If that's your backup center on a $27 million expiring contract, fine. You know, like at this point, that's okay. If he's willing to come off the bench, and he was willing to come off the bench for a lot of this season, I don't know if he'll buy in all of next season, but if he is... That's a really good luxury to have all of a sudden. And so to me, I really like to move either James Johnson or Deion Waiters.
Well, both Whiteside and Dragic spoke to media after the game in Brooklyn about perhaps opting out of their respective contracts. And so you wonder whether or not that's something that's on the table. Like, we've talked about the Dragic option many, many times. We never considered Whiteside opting out of his contract just because he can get paid so much. But apparently, and he was quoted as saying that he wants to play. I guess he wants to start is what he's saying, or he wants to have more playing time. I'm not sure how it's interpreted there. But, you know, it's interesting that both of them are willing to entertain that idea. I can't see Hassan opting out of that deal to sign elsewhere.
So much money. Just to start? Like, you're going to leave $27 million on the table. What's he going to get? What would Whiteside get paid?
Yeah, who has that money to pay him? It would have to be like a 5-year deal with a team option for 10 to 15, somewhere in that range. And I don't know that anybody's going to throw away that kind of money.
Nobody's going to do that. Yeah. And, I mean, you look at who's got cap space this year. They're all going after the big fish. Then somebody will have to settle for the Jimmy Butlers, the Kemba Walkers. And then you're looking after that. You know, where does Whiteside go? And I don't know what team is necessarily looking for a center. Like, do the Golden State Warriors say, we'll give you $3 million a year? Like, I don't even know that they would want Whiteside at $3 million a year. I don't know what... And I think Whiteside would be worth a lot more than $3 million. I think you're right. Something between $10 and $15 million, probably on the lower end of that spectrum. Start somewhere. I don't know where he starts. Like, Washington?
No, apparently the link to Charlotte is gained some steam recently, I guess, with James Borrego making comments to the media saying that he needs a rim protector, or that would be his preference as far as adding anybody to the team.
So that's something that I've been speculating. Could the Heat trade Whiteside to Charlotte for Bismack Biyombo?
No.
And a few draft picks, you know?
I mean,
would that be worth it, even if you're the Heat? Because Biyombo's not that good.
I think they could salvage Biyombo. Like, they could. I mean, or anything. He's just going to come off the bench to back up. Yeah. Bam, that's fine.
That's exactly it. Yeah, and he's an expiring, just like Whiteside is.
Right.
So if you're the Heat, you're just trying to recoup some draft picks that they don't have. And I don't know what kind of. I don't think it would be a first round pick because Charlotte's first round picks are good. So it'd probably be a couple second rounders, which is fine. You know, those are very valuable. Those grease the wheels during trade deadline season. Those are good things to have. So that's kind of like the fake trade that I've been thinking about and mulling over is Whiteside to Charlotte for Biyombo and a pair of future draft second rounders. Not even for this year, but like, you know, 2020 and 2021, just to have them in your quote-unquote war chest. But that's sort of the deal that I'm thinking about. Or maybe Whiteside does opt out. Maybe talk to James Borrego. He's like, I'll be your rim protector. And he's like, I don't care about the money anymore. I got it. My best friend's DJ Khaled. Anytime I'm worried about money, I'll just take out a loan. I don't know.
Will DJ Khaled follow him to Charlotte, though? I don't see it happening.
That's true. Good point.
There's no marinas to park your yacht at, you know? It's kind of tough.
Nico writes in, according to Ira Winderman, if Whiteside and Dragic opt out, that leaves us with about $20 million in cap space, just shy of the max, for the 2019 offseason. What would be the best approach to freeing up the rest of the cap needed for a max to throw at a potential free agent? So Ira says it's about $20 million, but if you consider that Magruder is no longer on the books, you remove Dwayne Wade's cap hold. We'll see about Haslam, but that could actually go up to about $24 million in cap space. But that's still not nearly enough for the max. So he would probably need to clear out another $11 to $12 million to really make a move on somebody. And so that would mean, again, selling one of those James Johnson's, Olynyk's, or Deion Waiters contracts for nothing in return. Some team would have to absorb that into cap space. And that would definitely require the Heat moving at least this pick coming up, right? Yeah. You'd have to at least attach this pick coming up or find somebody that find another contract out there that is so little of it is guaranteed. So maybe you could absorb that back and then just cut that player. That's a possibility, you know, like a Pau Gasol type of contract. No, he was already waived, so that doesn't even count anymore. But a contract like that, maybe you can find one, maybe you can work it out, but it would still obviously require attaching at least one draft pick and certainly the lottery pick that the Heat are going to have.
Yeah, and what are the benefits? We just talked about Whiteside. What's the benefit for either Whiteside or Dragic to opt out of their contract? I mean, Dragic...
I just don't see it.
Yeah, unless Dragic and his representation already have a deal with either Miami or some other front office in place, I don't see why he'd say, you know what, $20 million, I don't care about that. That's okay.
It would have to be some sort of Pat Riley Jedi mind trick. Who did he do that? Ben Udry? He like basically told him to leave $1.5 million on the table, we'll get you later, and then never did, basically. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe something happened under the table that we don't know about. But that would be it, right? That would be the only reason Dragic and Whiteside opt out is because Pat Riley told them so.
Yeah. Or didn't they sign him back for like a short-term deal and then waive him so they collect his money right away, but it didn't count against a cap or something like that? I forgot what it was. Wound up recouping some or if not all of that money back. I can't remember exactly how it worked out.
I'm sure they had a deal back, something wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And I remember other front offices basically being like, that's super not allowed. Yeah. And the NBA just being like, we don't care. So
yeah, Ellis, to his credit, he figured out a way to manipulate the system yet again. So
I don't know if he figures out a way to manipulate these two guys to leaving all that money on the table. I don't see Whiteside doing it, because that money does not exist for centers anymore. It just doesn't exist for centers anymore. Unless you're a center who can shoot threes, and he can't, it doesn't exist for those guys anymore. And even for those centers who can shoot threes, like Brook Lopez only made $3.5 million this year.
Yeah, that's a travesty.
So $27 million is just not in the cards for centers. It's just not. And so I don't see any universe in which he turns that down unless he cares that much about being a starting center. Unless he cares that much that he's willing to leave $20 million on the table. I don't see it. Maybe he talks himself into saying, well, I'd rather have, you know, $12 million on a 3-year deal versus $27 million right now because I want to get that money while I'm healthy. Maybe he talks himself into that. Dragic, if same sort of deal. I'll leave, like, Dragic makes a lot more sense to opt out. Yeah. And I do think if he opts out, it'll be on him and not the Heat asking him to, right? Because he can go out there and make $13, $14, $15 million a year. He's a point guard. Those guys get paid on, you know, a 2-3 year deal. That makes sense. Like, he's not leaving that much more money on the table, especially if he's kind of reading the writing on the wall. And he's like, Justice, the new point guard. Maybe he's like, I want to be the leading man somewhere else. Like, I could see that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still optimistic that he'll figure out some way of making a new deal together with the Heat front office, because that just seems like the most likely situation anyway.
Yeah, I think I don't see the Heat doing it. They want that space in 2020. I think they say, pick up your player option, come back for a year, and we'll figure it out in 2020 when we have your, you know, we'll try to re-sign you with bird rights. Or, you know, if you want the longer-term deal, we understand, but we're not going to be able to do it right now. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how they could do it.
No, he might just take a chance on himself and see if he can re-sign with the team in 2020.
All right, let's get through a couple of these really quick. Ming writes in, time to focus on next year. Could we make a play for Kelly Oubre?
Nope.
He's a restricted free agent? No, probably not, but Ming, playing with my heartstrings. Jonathan writes in, is it just me or watching the kids play without the veterans, not including D-Wade and Haslam, of course, was the most fun I had watching a Heat game all season, even in a loss? Can that just be our team already? Jonathan, yes! Dwayne Wade and Haslam are probably retiring. This is our team now.
Yeah.
And if Dragic and Whiteside opt out, definitely.
I mean, this is the team. I mean, Derek Jones Jr. is part of that as well. I mean, I'm not sure if he's a starter on opening day next year, but I mean, he's a big part of this franchise moving forward. I think he's under contract, and I think they like his potential. They like his ability to take another leap. So, I mean, to me, I think this is the team, and you kind of enjoy watching them play. And I think this is something to look forward to. I've been banging this drum quietly all season, and nobody's really been paying attention, but the reality is that none of this is as bleak as people want to make it seem. Like, people, during their losing earlier or midway through the season, you know, not to mention a certain co-host of mine, you know, trade this, blow up this roster, trade everybody, burn everything to the ground, let's move on. And you know what? I think things are a lot better on the surface.
Yeah, but I was right about the Rodney McGruder thing. They should have traded Rodney. They got nothing in return for Rodney.
Well, apparently it wasn't about getting anything returned. Apparently it was about saving a couple bucks for Mickey Harrison.
Taylor writes in, if the Heat did a sign and trade for Jimmy Butler, what would that look like? I don't think that it's that far-fetched to suggest the Heat will make a run for Jimmy. You know, the Heat pulled out all the stops at the Wade dinner the other night. Taylor, you are right. I stopped thinking about Jimmy Butler after the trade to Philly, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, he's going to be in Philly. We keep hearing, and I know you're hearing the same stuff,
yeah.
Philly might not be wanting to bring back Jimmy Butler. They're really happy with Tobias Harris. Butler wasn't all that impressive in Philadelphia. Now, if I were Philadelphia, I would keep all of them. I would pay it, and I would just try. Like, you can't get all of that talent all the time. I wouldn't take it for granted. But they might not want to pay Jimmy Butler a 3 or 4 year deal. But a sign and trade is pretty interesting. We'd have to look into all the dynamics of how it would fit in a cap or all that kind of stuff, and how that would affect Miami's cap going forward. But do know that they would have to match salary.
Yeah, I quickly asked Keith Smith to see, you know, just pick his brain a little bit and see if maybe he could provide some insight. And basically, you know, he just said, well, we'd have to convince Philly, Miami would have to convince Philly to take on some bad salary. And, you know, I don't see that happening either. I mean, like, you could include Dion Waiters. I mean, he could provide some offense off the bench. Look, their bench is really bad. I mean, they've invested so much money in Butler, Harris, et cetera, that they need some support offensively. So, I mean, having Deion back in Philadelphia where he's from sounds like a good idea. I'm not sure if the 76ers front office, Elton Brand, if they'd be interested in taking back Waiters' contract. You probably have to include Josh Richardson as well. That might be enough, but maybe you also
yeah, and I don't think Miami would want to do that because they could have done that at the beginning of the year. They didn't want to do it.
Right. Now Butler, so, another year older.
Yeah. Josh Richardson slightly better. I don't know. I think Deion still fits in Philadelphia, and I could see them talking themselves into it. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't trade. They would rather just have Jimmy Butler walk than just to get Deion Waiters in return. You know? Like, they'd rather
unless
have Jimmy Butler leave for nothing.
Unless you're invested in making another run next year, right? I mean, that's the reality. You have a limited window there as far as having everybody under contract. And
We know that what's-his-face, the white point guard, the T.J. McConnell, is not very good. We know that.
Wow.
That he's... Well, he's not. He couldn't play in the playoffs last year.
He's got heart. He's got heart, Wes.
He kind of is not good. So the backup point guard has been an issue for them. Yeah. We don't know if J.J. Redick will return. He's a free agent. And even if J.J. Redick does return, they have been looking for a backup to Redick. They had Marco Bellinelli for a second. They haven't really filled that position. They had What's-His-Face, who they traded to the Clippers.
Shamet.
He was good. Yeah, Landry Shamet. They had him, but they traded him to the Clippers for Tobias Harris. So they need depth. If you just take care of their backup, their second unit backcourt by trading them Goran Dragic is expiring and Deion Waiters for Jimmy Butler and whatever else you need to make that work, if it's, you know, a Jonah Bolden contract or a James Ennis contract or whatever it is, and you take that back, now we might be talking, right? We're like, look, Philadelphia, you don't have to worry about your backcourt anymore. We're going to give you Dragic and Waiters. End of story. You just give us back Jimmy Butler, who you didn't really want back anyway. I could maybe see that. A first-round pick, you throw that in there for the sign-and-trade purpose. Maybe? I don't know. Can Jimmy Butler force his hand like he did out of Minnesota? Because I bet if he's looking around and if you asked Jimmy Butler right now, other than Philadelphia, what team would you want to play for? Miami's on that list, especially after they schmoozed him for the last week.
Yeah, I'd have to agree there. I mean, I think you saw him hanging out with Dwayne Wade. I think there's been enough of a connection there with that front office and the kind of culture in South Florida. I mean, maybe that gets a little overstated at times, but I think it does appeal to Butler. So,
do we want Jimmy Butler?
That's another question then, right? I think his play took a step back this year, but maybe that's trying to fit alongside Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I think in Miami, I think he would take over right away. But then that's another thing, too, is that do we want to potentially stagnate the development of our young players again? I mean, it's a chance you have to take because, you know, the young players may not have another level to reach. And that's unfortunate, but that's also a potential reality. And so you have to consider that.
And he would be
the
Heat's free agent in 2020. They keep earmarking this summer of 2020. If you trade for Jimmy Butler, you have to sign him to that extension. That would be your free agent in 2020. Unless something else, like even if you move off of Deion Waiters, they still don't have enough money probably, unless they start making other moves, which is possible, they could. But that would basically be the Heat are guaranteed a max cap slot in 2020. That would be your one guaranteed max cap slot would be then going to Jimmy Butler. So if you're okay with that, go do it. But if you want to chase these other free agents in 2020, you know, when we talk about Anthony Davis being an option, does that help? Does Jimmy Butler help recruit an Anthony Davis, or is he just too much of an anchor on your cap where he's aging and he's taking up too much space to pursue an Anthony Davis, right? Like how does Jimmy Butler impact the Heat as far as recruiting that next superstar? That's something they have to figure out. Maybe that's something they talked about at the Wade dinner. I don't know. But I would be a little weary. I think Jimmy Butler ends up on the Lakers. That's my guess.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Huh.
He is the Chris Paul to LeBron's James Harden. LeBron is the point guard. He always has been the point guard. You put Jimmy Butler next to him. Jimmy Butler plays well off the ball. He could take the strongest defensive or, you know, the most difficult defensive assignment in the game. Let LeBron kind of relax. You know, the Lakers already play a switching style. I presume that would be the case next year because that's how their roster is built. LeBron can switch onto he could kind of just hide out on the weak guy, switch when he needs to. Jimmy Butler is very switchable as a defender. He could, again, play off the ball, get ISO when he has to. He could shoot threes at a reasonable clip. I think the Lakers strike out on Durant and Kawhi and all the guys that they really want. So I think they'll end up with Jimmy Butler. That's my guess.
That makes sense.
Anything else before we go?
No, I think this is the first of many mailbag questions that we're going to be answering along this type. So we've got to pace ourselves, I think.
That's true. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, bro. Wrap it up, B.